Did you know that driving under the influence of marijuana is illegal? Driving high will get you a DUI. And if you're wondering if law enforcement can tell you're driving high, well, everyone else can. Friends?
I can tell you drove high.
Parents?
I can tell when you drive high.
Relatives?
I can tell. You drove here high, didn't you?
So what makes you think law enforcement can't?
I can tell.
If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
All right, so we move into hour number three. Coming up in this third hour, a conversation with Anthony Herron. He's a Big Ten analyst and a college sports radio host on Sirius XM. That's coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. So 1-800-636-8686. The two big topics from yesterday are the two big topics today as well. Jed York and also the Browns. And we covered both those things already. You have your telephone number. You can find me on chat. You can find me on X. You can find me on the email. One more topic I want to get to before I talk to Anthony Herron. And I get his thoughts on this. But if you're paying attention to college football this week, you probably got a headache. I think we all have a headache. Because college football has become a gigantic headache to follow. And I'm not here to hate the game. We love the game. The games, thankfully, are going to start pretty soon. And it won't come a second too soon. Still love the game. It's the courtroom aspect of the game that I'm sick and tired of because I didn't know that I needed a law degree to follow and understand college football now. It has become so tedious, so annoying, so convoluted. It's jacked up is what it is. It's jacked up. Now, that's not to say the sky is falling. Well, at least not yet. At least not yet. But not because of what's gone down this week. I know there are people trying to make it that way. I know there's people saying, that's it. Finally, that's the last straw. That's where it all rips apart. This is it. That's the seminal moment right there. Lava pigs are trying to say that the guys going from NFL training camps back to college campuses is the sign that the end of the world is here. And if it's not here, we can see it from here. It's not. It's not. The lava pigs are also trying to say that this changes everything forever. It also does not do that. And again, I'm not a lawyer, although I feel like I need to be one to follow this, but I know enough to know that that's not what this is. What this is a situation that impacts an extremely limited number of players. Players from the 2022 high school class. It's a tiny pool of players that even have the potential option to try to go back to college. Although after today, it seems like that potential option may in fact have disappeared. All four power conferences have come out against players returning from the NFL. The Big Ten is getting credit for leading the way with this. At Pete Thamel, quote, sources, the Big Ten is set to pass a rule today that doesn't allow players to return from the NFL and play for a Big Ten school. Anyone who was declared for the NFL draft and did not withdraw, appeared on an NFL roster, or signed a contract with a pro league cannot be on a Big Ten roster. End quote. So it seems like common sense, right? But I do have a couple of thoughts. Number one, I wonder if the Big Ten would have been out in front of this whole thing, if the first dudes coming back from the NFL camps were choosing, say, Ohio State instead of LSU? What if Ryan Day, for instance, was benefiting from this instead of Lane Kiffin? Would the Big Ten have reacted differently? Here's my other thought. This rule is nothing new. Doesn't the NCAA already have this rule? You already can't declare for a draft and then go through the draft and sign a pro contract and then appear on a roster and then go back to an NCAA program. Why do we need a rule if the rule already exists? The whole point of the current situation is that a court order has overruled that rule and overruled the NCAA. The NCAA got punched in the face again. The NCAA got laughed at again. Does anybody anywhere give a damn or listen to or adhere to anything the NCAA does or says? The NCAA already told these dudes from that 2022 high school class that they were ineligible. It's just that these players went and they found a judge to issue an LT hammer, an injunction. And that's why we are where we are. So in theory, players could get an injunction against their conference as well, just like they got one against the NCAA, right? In other words, you have these conferences saying, we're not having it. We're not doing that. We're not taking you here. Well, what's to stop a player and or their agent or their attorney from finding another judge to also rule against the conference the way it ruled against the NCAA? I posed that question, but then we did see the Big 12 swing the hammer in the Sorsby situation, and then that was that. So maybe the conferences will be able to shut down anybody else trying to come back from the NFL. Here is my point. It's only impacting a specific few. This is not going to open up the floodgates for several hundred guys to decide, I want to play longer in college. It's not going to be some widespread, enormous problem. I'm not saying it's not absurd to be in the NFL and then to leave the NFL to go back to college. It is absurd. It's a joke, actually. But I'm saying it's not widespread. It's not the sign that college sports are now finally, officially off the deep end forever, and there's never coming back. It actually comes down to one actual case of one player actually seemingly ditching an NFL team to go back to college. And you'll never guess which NFL team got ditched. That's right. The player that's doing the ditching is tight end Daquan Wright.
That's right.
That's right. And who did he play for? The Browns. Was still very much an active member of the Browns when he entered the NCAA transfer portal last Thursday. Wright then suited up in his Browns uniform, and he warmed up on Saturday for Cleveland's preseason game, although he did not get in the game. He then followed that up by committing to LSU on Sunday while still a member of the Browns. So, of course, the Browns granted this dude his release so he could go join the Tigers. And Wright still might play for LSU this season, despite all the Power Four conferences coming out in the last 24 hours with statements and the Big Ten passing an actual ban. The SEC has only said it should not be permitted. They haven't actually banned it yet, so we'll see what happens. Just know, guys committing to college programs while still on NFL teams is not going to become a thing. It was never going to become a thing. It only applied to a select few fighting a messy battle in the courts. And believe me, I know it's convoluted as hell. It's absurd. It's messy. It's lame. But essentially, this bleep is all crazy. Even NFL head coaches are saying so. Like the NFL coach who just saw one of his players run straight back to college, the Monken.
How you been handling the Daquan Wright situation? Just seems weird, right? It seems like he's in the college transfer portal. He hadn't practiced, but then I saw him warming up after the rain delay today.
Man, it's crazy. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I wondered why Lane Kiffin reached out a week ago. Now I know. I mean, I didn't know. Now I know. I didn't call him back. Now I guess I should have. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Of course, Lane denied that. Lane's like, I've never spoken to the Monken. I don't have the Monken's phone number. Maybe it was somebody else pretending to be me. I don't know. The Monken? I found that guy to be a hell of a lot more funny before he named the creep QB1. But he's not wrong. His bleep is crazy. Although it's not crazy to believe that somebody wanted off that Browns team. That part's not crazy. I don't find that hard to believe at all. I bet there are several Browns who would way rather go kick it with Lane in Baton Rouge. I bet Daquan Wright got his name in the portal the second he got wind of the news that the creep was going to be the winner of the quarterback job. And who can blame the dude? And bottom line is this. The current NFL to college fight is not some existential crisis for college football. It's just a very specific fight over a very specific group of players because of a very specific NCAA ruling, and that group applies to a certain group that graduated a certain year. And, of course, the only team that actually had a player actually seemingly bail on them to run back to the college program was the Browns. Because who would want to be on the Browns if they had another real option?
Man, crazy.
And that guy, man, too bad about the Monken. I still want to like the Monken. The Monken says funny things.
I didn't call him back. Now.
Here's the latest from Adam Schefter. Former Browns tight end. Yeah, that's funny. Former Browns tight end. Daquan Wright. Cleared waivers today. Is expected to sign with LSU on Wednesday. Wright will go from Cleveland Brown to LSU Tiger and become the first player to go from an NFL roster back to college. And that much I agree with the Monken on. This ish is crazy.
Man, it's crazy.
Man, this bleep is crazy. He's not wrong about that. I just thought it was a lot funnier before he named his quarterback, the quarterback he named. Anyway, so there's that. That whole thing's going on. The point that I'm trying to make is, one, this is just crazy. And number two, it's not the way a lot of the lava pigs are making it out to be. And it's not a lot of the lava they're slinging. It's not that many guys. So far, it's one.
I mean, I don't even know what to say.
There's not going to be 40 guys next year, and then 100 guys the year after, and then 1,000 guys after that. It applies to 1 year. It was 1 year. And like I said, whenever things don't go your way now in college ball, you go find yourself a friendly judge, and then you get what you want.
I mean,
and a few of these guys did. There's that. Bodie and Pearland on chat. The Niners haven't seen a trap work that well since Kyle drew it up. Thanks, Bodie. Beto Casillas, 87. Quote, 160 is a lot of money in the big OH. Is it? I don't know. 160 might be a lot of money in the big OH, but he lives in a family that's worth, or is part of a family that's worth over $8 billion. Chris in C-Town, how bad are the girls in SF that he went to an Ohio trailer park looking for some action? I don't know that it's the ladies in Frisco. I wouldn't put it on them. Give me the brisket. I can't read that, dude. All right, so what that guy did is something that Parody Larry did. He used a word that is not permitted. I know that I haven't reset this in a minute. But really quickly, on the Rome TV channel, with those 8 platforms that I referenced, they have a list. A list of words that are not permitted. Lawrence used one of the words, and that guy right there, before I could read his chat, I looked down, he used that same word. Can't do it. All right, when we come back, we'll talk some more college ball, and we'll talk some pro ball. Anthony Herron, who is with the Big Ten Network, joins me on the other side of this. Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a home run today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with Daily Dingers. Joining the action's easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game. And if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, Are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/Rome. FanDuel.com/Rome to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a home run. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel. It's an official partner of the MLB.
21 plus, select states. For Kansas, in affiliation with Kansas Star Casino. 18 plus, D.C., Kentucky, Wyoming. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. Call 1-888-789-7777. Visit ccpg.org/chat, Connecticut. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org, Maryland. Visit Gambling Helpline, ma.org. Call 800-327-5050, Massachusetts. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Text HOPE-NY, New York. Call 1-877-867, Louisiana.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back, Jim Rome. In Southern California, Albie, kind of angry. Sort of angry on that bump back. All right, as promised, if you're on hold, you want to stay there. If you're in the chat, just keep doing what you're doing. If you're on the X, go ahead and do that. If you want to email me, you can do that. But as promised, we are joined right now by a former NFL defensive end. He also played 3 years in the Arena Football League. He was a standout in college at Iowa. He currently serves as a Big Ten Network analyst, as well as a SiriusXM college sports radio host, and is a contributor to the Chicago Bears pre- and post-game shows on Fox 32 TV in Chicago. So he's obviously a very busy dude. He is Anthony Heron. Anthony, really good to have you on the show. Dude, how you doing?
Bro, what's up, man? Yeah, you know how it gets this time of year. It's nonstop body rock during the football season.
My man, I like that. I like that energy. That's why I want to run you down. All right, so first things first, the stuff that we don't like as much. Can I get your reaction to the Big Ten saying it's not going to allow players to return from the NFL and play in their conference? Number one, how wild is that the guys are doing that? And number two, what is your reaction to the conference saying that?
It's the last handful of years, really 5 to 7 years, all this evolution we've seen throughout intercollegiate athletics has just been kind of coming at us in waves and haymakers after haymaker. There was a stretch during this offseason, I've been talking about it on Big Ten Radio over on SiriusXM 372, that it seemed like there wasn't necessarily new news, kind of new happenings to react to. It felt like maybe things were leveling off. And now just a few weeks ago with this possibility of NFL players, and this is all stems from the 5-for-5 ruling that was there, where student athletes now have the ability to play 5 years, compete in 5 years of college football, and you redshirt, you don't redshirt, you get injured, whatever, that doesn't matter. But you get 5 years after high school to compete at the major college level. But now there are these recruits from the 2022 cycle who've gone on to the NFL who would potentially be a fifth-year player right now. So a number of them, 16 in total, are in NFL training camps wondering, is there an opportunity to come back? So this really almost, you know, specifically impacts them. This isn't going to be some sort of an existential threat. But the Big Ten with this ruling, and I've been in communication throughout the day here with some folks from the conference office, some senior administrators from different schools around the conference. It does seem like the Big Ten at large is in unison on this. And for me, as an old college football dinosaur, this is kind of how the sport always operated. This evolution with compensation and the ability to transfer, all these things have been really good for the competitive balance in the sport, where there's so many teams with quarterbacks and with depth on the line of scrimmage and athletes being compensated beyond that scholarship that I was getting 20-some years ago. But to be able to have a system in place where you don't have folks, you know, 7-8 years into their college career, folks going to play in the National Football League or the National Basketball Association and then coming back to college, I do think, you know, some sort of, you know, restrictions, it's good to have some of that in place to, you know, still protect it as something where high school recruits get to go to college and develop, and maybe they become pros, but of course, as you know, Rome, most of them won't.
We're talking to Anthony Heron. I agree with that. Now, okay, so the Big Ten feels that way. What about the SEC? The SEC was saying, oh, yeah, we don't think that's a good thing, but they didn't say that they were going to mandate that. So Lane Kiffin already has one guy. Will the SEC fall in line, or are they going to just bring in who they want to bring in?
So we just saw a situation play out with Texas Tech in the Big 12, yep. And there was a lot of folks from the Southeastern Conference and folks from the Big Ten who were fairly loud, fairly boisterous about that you need to put your foot down on this. You can't have these guys, you know, kind of, you know, playing like there's no rules. So I do think, and it's one thing I respect about the Big Ten at least going out on their own. And, you know, usually there's at least a quick attempt to build a consensus behind closed doors. The Big Ten went out and said, this is our position. This is our stance. Privately, my understanding is there are certainly some folks in the SEC who feel like this should not be allowed. But the issue is you have all these different constituencies.
Yep.
So you got the 16 different teams. LSU might feel one way. Ole Miss might feel a different way. Alabama might feel a different way from that. Vanderbilt is going to have a different, you know, view of the world than a lot of the other institutions and programs in that conference. So ball's kind of in the court of Greg Sankey to make sure that he can get this reeled in and at least come up with a conference-wide view, that the SEC stance on this, and then let programs know. If you try to violate this, then you're going to be in violation of the conference at large. And that it's a strong position to take, but I do think it's incumbent upon Greg Sankey to make sure that his teams know and then let the world know what the SEC's position on this is.
All right, so good job breaking that down. Of course, we'd rather be talking ball, and we will talk ball right now, but that's a thing. That's news, and that's something we have to cover.
Yeah,
we're talking
no doubt.
Anthony Herron. So Ohio State is the top-ranked team in the preseason polls. Remember, they held off Texas 14-7 last year in Columbus in that rock fight. We're going to see a rematch in September 12th in Austin. How do you see this one, given that Ohio State's defense lost stars like Caleb Downs to the NFL versus a Longhorn offense that's going to be led by what you would think is a much improved Arch Manning? How do you see it playing out this year?
I like that you point that out about Arch Manning, because, you know, his last name is Manning, and he is a reasonably gifted quarterback as well. But last year, just kind of going into it, because his last name is Manning, there was so much assumption that he was just ready to ascend and be the number one overall pick in this last draft cycle before most folks had ever seen him really take a legitimate snap of major college football. But now there has been a year of real tangible development. I do think he's going to be a much improved quarterback. We saw that down the stretch with Sark as a play caller, all that talent they've got in Austin. We're going to see a better version of Arch Manning than we did last year. Ohio State was in a position last season, though, where they could beat a team like Texas early in the season opener, without having to ask Julian Sain to do a whole lot. And then they kind of methodically expanded the playbook last year, got the run game going. And, of course, he's got the best playmaker that we've seen this side of many Heisman Trophy winners and Jeremiah Smith outside at wide receiver. Julian Sain is a more gifted quarterback and playmaker than I think folks give him credit for, though, because he wasn't necessarily unleashed in that way last year. Ryan Day and his offensive staff, they didn't go much, if any, tempo. They were huddling up. They prepare for the long road. They prepare for deep runs in the college football playoff every year. That's a part of why you've seen, with multiple defensive coordinators, a historic level of success on defense in Columbus. I don't think that's changing anytime soon. And now you've got multiple NFL pedigree coordinators there. Arthur Smith comes in on offense after what we saw last season. So Ohio State isn't slowing down anytime soon. And I do think we're going to see a better, and I just saw him a couple of weeks ago, it is a slightly bigger version of Julian Sain as well. So the Buckeyes are going to be ready.
Anthony Herron breaking it down for us. Anthony, I got to get your thoughts on Oregon. It's a big Oregon house. I love Oregon. I love Dan Lanning. But so they're ranked second to kick off the season. But while he has built a monster in Oregon, in Eugene, he has. Over the last 3 years, Dan Lanning's gone 1-5 against teams that play in the national championship game. Do you think this Ducks team is the one that finally breaks through?
I do. They're my pick to click.
Okay.
As bullish as I am on the Buckeyes, the Ducks should be the number one team in the country. They should be the Big Ten championship favorite. There's not a team in all of college football this season that's got more proven commodities than the Oregon Ducks. Like, Dan Lanning was asked the other day about this NFL conversation we were having a few minutes ago. Hey, you know, what do you think about the potential for guys coming back to Eugene after they've been in the league? He basically said, we don't need them. He knows he's got maybe the most talented roster in the country. And the thing is, they were kind of a year early last year. There was so much youth and inexperience in the 2025 season for the Ducks. And like you mentioned, Dan Lanning, pretty much the only teams he loses to are the teams that compete in the national championship game. So that's on his resume as a loss, but it's kind of like saying LeBron keeps losing in the NBA finals. Like, yeah, he keeps getting there too. Like, there's something to be said for that as an elite standard. And the only thing that he hasn't done, that Uncle Phil hadn't done, that the Ducks haven't done, is win the whole dang thing. And I think this is the season they get that done. A big part of the reason is because I think that Dante Moore, their quarterback, he's the guy that I believe will be the number one overall pick in this next draft cycle. He likely, in my opinion, would have come off the board right after Fernando Mendoza this last cycle. And the comparison with he and Julian Sand, they're both guys that are going to be first-round picks. And I've been following each of them since they were coming out of high school because I call the All-American Bowl every year for NBC. Dante Moore, because Oregon was so besieged by injuries last year at wide receiver and at running back, he did have moments during the season last year where everybody had to look to him and say, we don't really have any playmakers, but you're in a monsoon at Kinnick Stadium. Can you complete a third and long pass to keep us on the field to secure victory against the Hawkeyes at night in a monsoon in one of the most hostile environments in college football? And he was able to do that because he was placed in those scenarios. Julian Sand and Ohio State were never really behind the eight ball until they got to the postseason. And that's why the Hoosiers were able to take them down. That's why they're losing to the team who goes on to win it all. So Julian Sand now has tasted his own blood, but Dante Moore did during the season last year. And I think Oregon, with all that talent and experience they brought back, they've got the best defensive line in the country with all the depth over there. So you're talking QB play, deep wide receiver core, running back, the lines of scrimmage. A couple of questions on the offensive line and at linebacker. But other than that, man, there's NFL pedigree all over the place for Dan Lanning and Eugene.
Anthony Heron joining me. Anthony, I'm chuckling because I talked to PJ Fleck the other day, and I did the whole intro for him like I did for you, and he's like, yo, Jim, good to talk to you in Big Ten country. And that had to make me laugh that I'm in Big Ten country here in Cali. But right. Let me ask you about USC, since I am in Big Ten country. They're going to be a part of that week zero slate of games on Saturday. They'll get that paycheck game against San Jose State. But given all the buzz surrounding the Trojans and that top-ranked recruiting class, do you think Lincoln Riley is going to be able to navigate the rest of that schedule, which does include road games against IU and Penn State?
The schedule is really the main thing that gives me any legitimate hesitation about USC this season, because Lincoln Riley's been building towards this year his entire time at SC, because year after year, you know, we know he's going to have high-level quarterback play. He's going to have that again with Jade Maiava and the development that they've had through three seasons now, where it's no longer assumed that Lincoln Riley is going to try to go to the transfer portal and find some other dude to come in and start over Maiava. He knows he's got a guy, and now the rest of us know that he's a proven commodity as well. And getting to see Maiava a couple of weeks ago, it's not only about the physical maturation there, but I could tell he's just more mentally, emotionally ready to like seize that USC Trojan stage as one of their great quarterbacks. So there's few programs who rival the history of that position that the Trojans do. But we know Lincoln Riley's going to have that spot on lock. Yes, he lost multiple NFL receivers last year, but he's always got receivers. Where USC has grown up more than anything, and this is kind of a similar journey that Ryan Day went on at Ohio State. When he got to Columbus as Urban Meyer's offensive coordinator, Ohio State frankly turned into a bit of a finesse team, and they put up passing numbers like we'd never seen any Ohio State offense put up before, but the lines of scrimmage began to struggle. Lincoln Riley brings his acumen as a play caller and a quarterback developer to SoCal, but we've seen a line of scrimmage, both offensively and defensively, that hasn't been able to sustain at a championship level. Now, last year, even though statistically his first year had a better statistical rushing attack in yards per game, but I believe last year was the best run game, the most consistent run game that Lincoln Riley had since he took over for USC. And you go back to some of those Oklahoma teams, his best ones were the squads that could run the rock in addition to the way that he could coach them to pass the football. You mentioned the recruiting class, but you add the transfer portal talent into that. Gotten guys from Michigan State and some of the other squads, like traditional Big Ten, corn-fed kind of dudes who just come in with that lunch pail attitude. So you combine that with some of your traditional Big Ten sensibilities on the defensive and offensive fronts on the interior with what Lincoln Riley does on the outside passing the football. You throw Gary Patterson in there, Hall of Famer coaching the defense. I love what USC is bringing to the table, and it's as formidable as they've been since Lincoln Riley's been there. But they've got one of the toughest conference schedules in America. That's the main reason they lost that Notre Dame game.
Dude, I know you know about that corn-fed life, being that big dude at Iowa. Listen, before you go, how about this? One last thought, and this has been awesome, dude. So good to see you. What about Caleb Williams and the Bears? I know that you are closely connected with the Bears. You follow them. Caleb took that massive, massive step last year and emerged as one of the game's best closers. Given that D coordinators are going to have the whole offseason to break down his tape and Ben Johnson's system, what are you expecting from Caleb in year three? Will he adjust to them as they adjust to him?
Like you mentioned, I do Bears pregame and postgame for Fox 32 here in Chicago. I've been at Hallis Hall during Bears training camp. I've gotten to spend one-on-one time with Ben Johnson, with Caleb, with Ryan Poles. And the organization as a whole, the confidence that they're exuding right now, to me, is really encouraging. It's one thing I've been telling Bears fans about in Chicago, because you haven't seen consecutive seasons of excellence for the Bears, frankly, since Lovie Smith was the head coach. But now having a quarterback, and there's frankly few organizations in the NFL that have been so bad at just developing consistency at QB as the Bears have historically, but it does seem like Caleb, and I know maturity was one of those questions, and you're right there near USC. A lot of folks had concerns about whether or not Caleb would be coachable. Would he be committed to the gig? Would he be able to handle kind of the spotlight of an NFL QB? And I couldn't be more impressed with what those first two seasons have been. And now seeing him in person, it's not like his mobility was an issue for him, but he's trimmed down nearly 15 pounds that he's lost. You see it all over his upper body and his frame. He looks great. He sounds great. And he is very much in line with trying to get into the details of being the best quarterback, having the mechanics, having the consistency that you look for to execute that position at a high level. And Ben Johnson is just a stone-cold maniac. So their maniacal sort of approach to things, it does play well off of each other, because they're both so eager and so confident that they're destined for greatness, but they're willing to put the work in that's necessary to get there. I'm really, really eager to see how this season plays out. As long as they figure out left tackle. That's a bit of a bugaboo they got up front that they're still struggling with.
Anthony, leave me with this thought. I love what you just said about Ben Johnson. He's a stone-cold maniac, and he is that. Like, you've been around that scene. I mean, how much of a rock star is that guy in that town? Mm. And not just based on his acumen, but his persona, his swagger. And if all these guys are stone-cold maniacs, what's his separation? What makes him more of a maniac than most of the other NFL maniacs?
Well, I think I'm probably the last person in the lower 48 who finally saw The Odyssey. Like, I just came back from the movie theater finally seeing that. So, yes, we can all check that off the list. I was the last dude to finally check that movie out. But when you look at Odysseus in that movie, I'm sitting there watching Matt Damon on screen thinking, who's a coach in the NFL who might be psycho enough to go on a journey like this? It's Ben Johnson. Like, yeah, there's other warriors out there. Yes, there's other people who kind of have that mentality of wanting to be the best, wanting to sort of slog through everything that's necessary to reach their goal. And then you have the Ben Johnsons of the world, kind of that 1% of 1% with their mentality that combines with an aptitude for how they lead, how they coach, how they scheme. I really think the Bears have a special guy in that regard, but he's not just some microprocessor on X's and O's. He does seem to have a really good sense for his players. They trust him and follow him right now. I mean, now, we're talking year two. Like, when I was at the Atlanta Falcons, Jim Moore Jr., he was the head coach. Those first couple of years there in Atlanta, everybody was all in. And then at a certain point, when there's not that continued tangible evidence of success, then things can fracture a little bit. But, you know, he's off to an exceptional start through his first season as a head coach. And, you know, year two, especially because overall it's still a pretty young and impressionable roster that the Bears have, it really feels like, especially on offense, there's some special stuff coming to Hallis Hall.
He seems like a special dude. You mentioned Jim Mora Jr. Dude, you got to stop saying things. I'll follow you until the end of time. I love Jim Mora Jr. He's always been one of my favorites for years and years and years and years.
Man.
I love him. I love his old man. I love that family. Anthony Heron, in fact, I better let you go because I know you have things to do, or I will keep following you, man. That was absolutely awesome. We should have done it sooner. We've got to do it again soon. I appreciate you. That was absolutely great.
Rome, my pleasure, man. I'll be back in the jungle anytime.
My man, Anthony Heron, knows where he is even. Dude, that dude is on top of it. And by it, I mean everything. Rome, I'll come back in the jungle anytime, man. Music to my bleeping ears. Good, good, good stuff. All right, when we come back, one last segment. Should be short, but long enough for you to get through. another Alex Hattie special. Look at Hattie in the back row. And credit to Anthony here, and he turned that thing around fast, too.
Alex.
He was a quick yes. A quick yes, and said, I'd love to do it. Made time for it. Man, he's on his game. Man, you got to love. Yeah, I love when I can find guys who played ball at Iowa, and we connect like that. Did not used to be the case. That felt good. All right, stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I'm not going to lie. I'm having a little trouble focusing. Yeah, normally, that's not a problem for me. I'm a pro now. I'm a Hall of Famer. I'm a pro's pro. And it's got nothing to do with that interview, which was exceptional. Anthony Heron showing up huge. No, it's just, it has something to do with me seeing something that not only can I not unsee, it was just very disturbing. Very disturbing on so many different levels. And we have now all seen it, and we're all pretty much equally disturbed by it. Now, me being a pro, I've got lots of things to do and not just this segment. I've got some post-production after the show. I'm going to do some work on my book. I've got things to do. But damn, really disturbing. Hey, Tommy, like, without giving it away, are you as troubled and or disturbed by what I just saw? Because you saw it before I did. And you had me look at it.
Yeah.
Even though you did say to me, you probably don't need to see this.
Yeah, and I only made it like, I had to watch it in stages. I made it like 6 seconds in the first time and then like 16 seconds in the second time. And then I made it most of the way through the third time.
I'm more macho than you. I watched it straight through.
Yeah, I couldn't quite take it. It's disturbing. I mean, you know, V got loose with the AI. The possibilities are endless.
I was not going to say what it was, dude. Yeah. You just gave it up. Well, you just gave it up. So since you gave it up, V figured out how to use AI. Awesome. V, we've seen it. We've seen it, V. Notice we're not airing it. We've seen it. Now, the internet being what it is, I can't prevent you. I can't get a restraining order against you, although I should have. Disturbing, V. Disturbing as hell. I know this is a really, really important week to you. I know how much this week means to you, V. So much so that you learned how to activate AI and include all of us and some of your favorite characters. Really disturbing. Stop sending me reaction, V. I'm not honoring, for whatever reason, this anniversary, which to me really is not an anniversary, is way more important to you than it is me, when it really should be important to me. Don't do it. Lorne, don't do it. Don't do it. Do not do it. 1-800-63. Don't, Lorne. Don't. Get that off my screen, Lorne. That screenshot seems fairly innocuous, right? Looks like the kind of shirt that I'd wear, rocking my watch, seems fairly innocuous. All right, if you want, you can roll 3 or 4 seconds of it. Go ahead.
Welcome to the Great Equalizer Show.
Stop, my right first there. Guest is right there. That's where we stop. It is not the Great Equalizer Show. I would never say that. I don't sound anything like that. I don't look like that when I speak, nor would I ever refer to this show as the Great Equalizer Show.
Diarrhea is the
great. Okay, now that's me back in the day. So what V is trying to convince me of is that this is the anniversary of what he thinks is the greatest take in the history of the world. He says the anniversary is Saturday and then tries to bait me with nonsense like this. Jimothy, this is why you're a Hall of Famer. It's clear to me you were doing all of this Browns talk because you were leading into the 20th anniversary of your iconic diarrhea is the Great Equalizer take. This Saturday is the anniversary, so I took the liberty of making a promo for the one-hour special that you were doing on Saturday in honor of the anniversary, V and the Fee. See, V, this is what's really unusual. The day that I had that take was like any other day. And it seemingly was like any other take. Little did I know 20 years from now or from then, we would have artificial intelligence that would enable you to honor that take as the iconic take when I thought it was just Wednesday and just another take. But no, lo and behold, little did I know that 20 years later we would be doing this. And as disturbing as the first 4 seconds of that promo were, I can't even begin to even let you in on what the next 45 seconds of it were. I mean, there are twists and turns to this so-called promo. Wait until, and it's disturbing enough of me because AI just is. But when the camera flips to the control room, some of the things that happen in the control room are also very disturbing, like V himself. So the answer is no, V. The answer is no. There's not going to be an hour-long special on Saturday. There. This should give you an idea of what's going on. There's Alex Hardy blasting rails of blow. I think that's Cindy in the back. Tommy, for some reason, has a hamper over his head. And there's another hamper behind him in the back row. And just equate all of that with V's favorite topic, and you can imagine what's going on. Way to find AI, V. Right now, O'Reilly Auto Parts gets you back to savings. Pick up select Royal Purple fuel system additives. Buy one, get one free. Plus, receive 4x O rewards points. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com. That's it. We are done. Have yourselves a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.
Mic Drop, hosted by former Navy SEAL Mike Ridley.
What is your take? Was it what you expected?
Oh, it was the best thing ever.
It was something I always wanted to do.
If you show me a clear goal, I'm like, okay, I can do that. Master Chief, he's like, you realize there's about 1% chance of you making it through. 1%? That's all I need, Master Chief.
My platoon went home early, and I just went up to my chief, and I was like, I'm not going home.
Turns out I'm staying.
That's when we go to war.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I could get used to this.
Mic Drop. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.